the word of God. And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever says I am, that's what I am. Whatever says I can do, I can do it. Whatever says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, give us a revelation and understanding of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I said, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just made up my mind that ain't nothing going to steal my joy. Praise Jesus. Jerry Savelle used to say, if the devil can steal you, if he can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking about praying through your problems. We've been giving you 7 steps. Now, just going to give you a quick open book test. Nobody has to, if you don't remember the answers, don't feel embarrassed. Well, yeah, never mind. Anyway, don't feel embarrassed. Anybody remember the first step? Besides Pastor Mary. Anybody remember the first step? Vitally important step. Yar. Go ahead. Oh, try it anyway. That's good, but that's the second step. But that's good, though. That's good. That is good. So y'all got the second step right. So I give her a B minus. All right. Anybody remember the first step?
Don't blame God.
Martha, you get an A. Praise God.
Bring yourself. Don't blame God.
Mommy, you get an A too. A minus because you piggybacked off of Martha. But I'm going to give you an A minus anyway. All right. All right, so y'all already gave us the second step. Anybody remember the third step? Give it a try. You did good.
Find scripture.
Oh! You just bumped that B minus up to an A, girl. Girlfriend. All right. Now, this one should be much easier because we talked about this last week. What was the fourth step? Anybody remember? All right, I'm gonna give this one to y'all. Last week we talked about strengthen your faith by basically we talked about God's character. Say God's character.
God's character.
You got to come to know God's character. That's basically what, you know, I gave it a kind of a long sentence. Maybe that's why y'all don't remember it, but you got to remember. What was that said, Pastor?
I remember.
Oh, you remembered it. Okay, I wasn't gonna let you answer anyway because you always remember. But we talked about the fact that God, you got to know the character of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've got to know your God. And that's why you need to, when you study the Bible, not just look for promises, not just look for commands, but look for what it says about God himself. Look for when it talks about God as holy. Come to study that word holy. See, some people, because of the influence of Catholicism and other religions that are really not truly of God, people have made certain words into ethereal, mystical type of meanings. And that's not really true about God when it talks about holy, because God says, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yeah.
The word holy simply means to be separated from all that is corrupt, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the simple meaning of it. And see, the fact that God is holy should not make you scared of God, but should make you run to God because since God is holy, he can't be corrupted by anything, praise God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how good a politician is or how godly a politician is. Usually when they get to Washington, D.C. and they see all the corruption, many times they begin to fall in line with a lot of the corruption there in order to try to get things done. And so man is fickle and hard to trust. But the fact that God is holy
means that God can easily be trusted, praise God. And then when you begin to act holy as God is holy, then we can trust you a little more. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And you can, that includes all of us. So, as you come to understand God's character, you come to understand his integrity, the fact that he cannot lie, he cannot sin, he can't even be tempted to lie. See, I can be tempted to lie, praise God, because I'm human. I can be tempted to lie just to impress you, just to make you feel like, hey, you know, pastor. And remember, all pride is sin is the result of pride. Praise God.
Amen.
So I can try to lie in order to impress you, and I've done it. I was a good liar, very good liar. Thank God, God has set me free from lying. Praise Jesus. God has set me free from lying. Matter of fact, I went from being very good at lying to being very bad at it, which I'm glad about. Praise God.
Amen.
I wasn't glad about it at first because I used to get caught in those lies. Then, but I learned that was God's way of teaching me. Don't lie. You're my child. Represent me. Praise God.
Amen.
I remember when I was in the Air Force and I wanted to go into special duty. I was either wanting to be a drill instructor or I was going to be an Air Force recruiter. You know, one the guys that go out and try to convince other people to come into the military. And so I had a supervisor. She had done both. She had been a drill instructor and a recruiter. And she said, Troy, she said, there's no way you could be a drill instructor. I said, why? She said, because you are not mean. She said, you got to learn to be mean. You're too nice. And she said, you can't be a recruiter. I said, why? She said, because you got to know how to lie. And she said, you don't know how to lie. That was it. I took both of those as a compliment, praise God. Because she was not a Christian, but she knew that I was, and she recognized the fact that I tried to walk as a strong Christian. But the fact that she could say that really showed the growth in my sanctification. Hallelujah. Because I tell you, I was very good at lying. And people would believe me just because I had that innocent face. You know, I was younger. I had a nice little innocent face. So people used to believe everything I said. I'll show y'all some pictures one day. But anyway, you know, I had that baby face back then. But God is a God of integrity. He can't be tempted to lie. He can't be influenced. He's nothing like man. Hallelujah. So as you come to understand the truth about God and his integrity, then you're able to have more faith in God. And the thing about God too is he has all power. He can make anything and everything happen. If it's not in existence, God can create it, praise God.
Amen.
And he is willing to even create it on your behalf. And there's another thing about God. We didn't talk about it last week, but there's another attribute of God or part of God's character that you've got to understand if you're going to have faith and pray. You've got to understand that God is generous and willing to bless you, praise God.
Amen.
I should have added that, but I won't talk about it a whole lot today. But you need to understand that your God is generous. Let's look at James chapter 1 real quick. He is not a stingy God at all. As Pastor Mary was talking about as we were doing our tithes and offerings, John 3:16 is the quintessential scripture memorized by everybody, understood by very, very few that have memorized it. I know sinners that can quote John 3:16. As a matter of fact, I know some drunks that could quote John 3:16. Yes, Pastor. God so loved the world. Hey, pass that on to me. He gave his only begotten son, Pastor. Yeah, they can quote it. But the understanding of it is what is essential, because you've got to come to believe in the fact that God did give his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is so generous that he gave up the most precious thing heaven ever had. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is a generous God. He is not stingy in the least little bit. Now let's look at James chapter 1. Verse
He's generous. He's willing. He wants to do things for you. He wants to do it. Jesus told the people he was teaching, he said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom. The Bible tells us that God delights in the prosperity of his servant. He wants you to prosper, praise God. He wants you to have success. God wants to do things for you. I remember I was listening to a tape by Kenneth Hagin some years ago when his wife was sick and she was in the hospital and he was praying for her and really believing God to heal her. And so she was getting surgery and he was believing God to work, do a super. See, that's where there's nothing wrong with believing God for healing even while the person's going through surgery, amen?
Amen?
There's nothing wrong with believing God for healing even while the person is taking medicine, praise God. Amen. Matter of fact, while I'm still believing God for my eyes, but y'all don't want me to throw my glasses away right now, praise God.
Amen.
Or at least you don't want to be on the road when I do. Boom! I'm trusting God by faith. I'll be a statistic. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with that. But anyway, Brother Hagin was praying. And he said Jesus appeared to him in the hospital in visible form. And he told Brother Hagin, he said, my son, I want to do so many things for my people. But they won't ask me. They won't ask me. And I'll even add to that, many times we ask, but we don't wait. Mm-hmm. We don't wait. We get frustrated. We get impatient because we live in an age where things have to happen to us right away. And God doesn't conform himself to the age, praise God. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, well, it's a microwave age. I better work a little faster for my children. No, God is still going to be God. But he desires to do so much for you and me. James chapter 1. Let's look at verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I notice this, that give it to all men, the King James Version says, liberally. Liberally. Say liberally.
Yeah.
I mean, God, basically, he said, I give it to you freely. He says, please, come ask me. I will give it to you freely, praise God. And notice this, he says, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In other words, when you go to God and ask him for wisdom, God's not going to say, what you coming to me asking that stupid question for? Get out of my throne room. God's not going to do that, praise God. Now, you and I have done that. We've done that to our kids. You know, what's wrong with you? You even come to me with that. Just get out of my sight. Didn't I do that sometimes? Poor baby. You're so scarred over that, ain't you? Trisha, poor thing, she was the first child, so she got the brunt of it. She had to deal with all my stupidity as a new father, not knowing what I'm doing as a father, poor thing. But she ain't dead, so she's okay. All right. But anyway, if I could go back and know what I know now, I would definitely raise my children differently. I would not be as hard as I thought I was supposed to be. Even though I didn't like being hard, I thought that was the way I was supposed to be. But anyway, God gives to you liberally, and he won't upbraid you or make you feel bad about you coming to ask him for anything. God wants you to come to him and ask him for things, praise God.
Amen.
God wants you to ask him for things because God is liberal, he's generous, he's not stingy in the least little bit. God is willing to share his whole kingdom with you, praise God.
Amen. Amen.
God, when God created us, he created us to reign. He didn't decide, okay, I'm God, so I'm going to reign all by myself, and y'all just going to be my little servants and subjects. No, God wants us to reign with him. God shares everything, praise God.
Amen.
He is a sharing God. So as you are dealing with problems and you are dealing with issues in your life, then part of stripping your faith to believe God to relieve you of the problem is knowing how generous and kind He is and how giving He is. And so when I go to God in prayer, that's why I have no issues or worries that I'm going to get what I want, as long as I'm basing it on the Word of God. Because I know that God's not going to say, I know I promised that, but I ran out of that last week. I'm sorry.
I ran out of hope.
Yeah, I ran out of hope. Hope deferred make the hearts ashamed. But God is a liberal, generous God. Say, my God.
Is generous.
My God. Is liberal.
My God.
Is willing. Praise God. When I say liberal, I don't mean political liberal. Amen. All right. God is liberal as in He freely gives. Now, let's go to step number 5. We talked about 7 steps. So we're on the 5th step. After this, we'll have 2 more, and we'll finish this series. And hopefully that after you've grasped all this, when you start having problems, you won't come in here looking all depressed. But you'll say, hey, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't like being depressed. I went through depression. I've dealt with depression, and it ain't fun. Praise God. I've been there where I just didn't care whether I lived or died. I was never going to commit suicide because I was scared of going to hell. But I said, man, if a train was to hit me right now and kill me, it wouldn't bother me one bit. I've been there, praise God.
Amen.
I've felt the loneliness, I felt the depression, I felt the pain, and then try passing the church and going and having to fight all that. When you don't feel like people are on your side, when you feel like everybody's against you, when you feel like, you know, why am I even doing this? You try doing that and having to fight all that. Thank God. I learned how to fight, praise God.
Amen.
And it started with knowing that my God is on my side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That He's for me, He's not against me. I learned that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Don't you feel weak when you're depressed?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you feel like, man, I only want to get out of this bed. But when you're happy, man, can't nothing bother you. You just seem like when you're happy, you just got all kinds of energy. You're just hopping all over the place. That's why God says that the joy, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, you need to remember that scripture if you don't remember any other scripture. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you don't remember the scripture, remember the song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 You got to learn to sing that to yourself. I sing that to myself. Sometimes when depression wants to hit me, I begin to sing. Sometimes it may come out like this at first. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. But you know, as I keep doing it, I finally get stuck. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Then I just let the devil know I'm laughing. You can't win. Praise God.
Amen.
So step number 5. Now after you've done all the other 4 steps, you come to know that not to blame God for the problem. When you when you've analyzed your problem accurately, and then when you found the corresponding scripture that deals with your problem, and then when you come to understand the truth concerning God's character, now, after you've done all 4 of those, then it's time to go to God in prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you're wasting your time if you don't do those first 4 concerning your problems and your issues. Just jumping down and going to God in prayer, and your faith is not going to be built up. You need your faith built up because notice what we just read in James again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given. But look at verse 6. It says, but let him ask in what?
Faith.
Let him ask in what?
Faith.
He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now look at verse 7. This is sobering. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, does that might, if people don't read this carefully, it might seem to contradict what I just said a moment ago about God being liberal and not being stingy. But listen to me. The problem is not on God's side. It's on our side. Let me show you an illustration. Nancy, try to give me my Bible. Oh, I wish Nancy would give me my Bible. Nancy, oh God, Nancy, please give me my Bible. Nancy, I need my Bible. You know, Nancy, how are you going to give me my Bible? Nancy, oh God, Nancy, I need my Bible. See? Notice what's happening. God is trying to give. You are lacking faith. Faith is the hand that takes from God. Praise God.
Amen.
So, while God is, thank you, Mars. Reach out. You got to reach out and get what God is trying to give you. See, God is trying to give, and you are wavering. Oh, please, God, please do this for me. God, I need it now. Why won't you do it? And God is saying, here, here. And you, oh, God, why? You know why? Because you didn't do the first four steps. You didn't see that God is not your problem. You didn't look at your problem accurately so that you could really understand what it is you really need from God. You didn't go to the Word of God to find a scripture that deals with your problem so that your faith can be built, because faith comes by how?
Hearing.
And hearing how? Hallelujah. And then you didn't go and find scripture that really strengthened your faith concerning God's character. So you went to God and you tried to get something from God, and you didn't get it, not because God is stingy, but because you didn't reach out and grab it, praise God. Because you didn't have faith. Because you kept going, oh God, why? Why? Why won't you do this? I know. Been there. Maybe I'm just talking about me. I don't know. Maybe that y'all don't go through that. But I do know that a lot of people do, praise God. Because I get the calls. Not necessarily from this congregation, you know, because we kind of somewhat got a worldwide ministry now that we're on the internet. You know, every once in a while I get a call. And people are crying about why God won't do this for them. Or I get an email. How come my mother won't, how come I pray for my daddy or something like that and he died or whatever have you, if what you're saying is true? You know, things of that nature. I get emails, I get phone calls. But if you ask in faith, and if the person asks in faith, they can receive, praise God. But you got to know that it's God's will and that he's willing to do it for you. All right. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 14. That's in your Old Testament. Is what we would call one of the minor prophets. I know it's not a book that we go to often. So, actually it's a major prophet, I'm sorry. Hosea. If you can't find it, look in the table of contents.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 14. It's right before the book of Joel. See, Christians, we got to stop being lazy. And just stop throwing up haphazard prayers. Praise God. That's okay when you when it's an emergency and stuff like that. God will help. You know, sometimes if you're in an emergency and you need help, it's not the time to go get your concordance or go online and look up the Bible verses. That's the time when you say, God, help! I need help! And God will help you. Praise God. But what I'm talking about is a problem you know you've been dealing with for a while. And you know you got time to talk to God about it. You got time to analyze it. You got time to look up the scriptures and to get them in your heart and pray. Praise God. You got time to do all of that before you pray. Now, we got to stop trying to be lucky.
hoping that God will do something. We've got to believe and know that God will do it. Well, God might answer, he might not answer. My friends, the Bible is clear that God wants to answer you, but you got to be able to take the answer he is giving, praise Jesus. He will not force the answer on you. And the best way to do it is to learn to take God's own words to him. Study the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God says about your problem after you have accurately analyzed it. Find out what God says about himself, and then take these things before him. Take him his own words before him. Now, how many of y'all, when you wanted something from your mom and dad, and they wasn't home yet, you kind of rehearsed what your speech to them. How many of y'all have done that? I've done that. You know, alright, let me see, what am I going to say to dad that, you know, especially, you know, when I needed some money. Let me see, how am I going to make dad really feel sorry for me and give me this money? You know, so you practice a couple of things. Now I better not say that because then he's going to ask me this. So you know, you finally practice until you get the right speech together. How many of y'all have done that with your bosses, your supervisors? You know, you sat down and you thought about, what am I going to say before, you know, especially you ask for a raise. Let me rehearse all the great things I've done for this company before I go before him. And then after you've rehearsed your speech, then you go knocking on the boss's door. And you sat down and you already got prepared what you're going to say. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Didn't you? Yeah, so that happens sometimes to you. But the thing is that with God, you should be able to do the same thing. Praise God. You should be able to rehearse what you're going to say to God before you go before him. And the Bible actually teaches that we should do that. And look, let's look at Hosea 14. Let's look at verse 1. It says, O Israel, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. I want you to notice right here that the way you fall is not because God caused you to fall. You fall by your own iniquity. Amen? Amen. Sin will destroy you, as we just said in the quote of the day. Sin destroys people, not God. Your own sin comes back to destroy you. God says that they fell by their own iniquity. That was extra. I won't even charge y'all for that. All right. Now, Hosea tells them to do this after they return to the Lord. This is what he wants them to do. Take with you words. Say that with me. Say, take with you words. And then he tells them what to say. So take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the cows of our lips. See, God, Hosea is telling him exactly what you need to say to God. He's telling you to rehearse this, and this is exactly what you're going to say to him. He didn't say just run to him and just with a haphazard speech, just scream out and cry. He says, no, take with you words. And this is what you're going to say. And he says again, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the cows of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For indeed the fatherless find mercy. And then look at what God says after they take to him words. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. Praise God. Amen. So God says, if you come to me with the right words, you'll get the answer that you need. Praise God. Amen. That's why I teach y'all this. I'm teaching y'all this because this is what the Bible teaches. So I'm teaching you what the Bible says, and you want to receive answers to prayer, take with you words. Find out what the Word of God says. Prepare your speech. I mean, I'm not saying you got to write down every prayer,
But I am saying is that at least know what the Word of God says. See, sometimes what I do, most of the time I got scripture memorized, so I can talk to God and I can throw the scripture up at him. But if I don't remember the scripture, sometimes I will open my Bible and talk to God and say, Father, I thank you because this is what you've said here, and I trust you to make this happen in my life. Praise God. We give you a perfect illustration. The house that we have right now that we purchased. Do you know I have been praying for that house for probably maybe 3 years, I think? Now, we have been looking for a house and looking for a house, but I never really prayed about the house. But when God told me that he wanted me to stay in Rhode Island and pastor the church, then I figured, okay, well, it's really time for me to buy a house. Praise God. Amen. So we went around looking for a house, and everything was just way too much over my budget. You know, I mean, I could have done it, but I wouldn't have been able to eat afterwards. We'd have had a nice place to live, but we've been here at the church asking y'all to feed us. So you know, we prayed. So finally, the Lord himself led me to start praying for the house. And then he led me to certain scriptures. One of them was in Exodus chapter 1, where it talks about how the midwives that took care of the Hebrew women when Pharaoh had commanded the midwives to kill the babies as soon as they came out of the Hebrew women. If it was a boy, he was supposed to kill them. But the midwives, they feared God, and so they refused to do it. And so the Bible says because they honored God, he blessed them with houses. Praise God. Amen. So I took that scripture, I took a couple of other scriptures, and I wrote them down. And I would bring them before God. And I would say, Father, this is what you promised concerning houses. And I said, I trust your promises. And so I believe you for a house in the name of Jesus. I believe you for an affordable house. One that won't, you know, set me back and hurt me financially. You know, we believe God for things like that. And so, and at the same time, we were believing God. We were still at the YWCA, if most of y'all remember. We were still at that daycare center. And we were believing God for a building. And so we were praying for that. The church was praying for that. I was praying personally for the house. And so I remember getting a call from the YWCA telling me, Troy, we hate to tell you this. You're not going to like what we're about to tell you, but you got 2 weeks left. Like, huh? Sorry. You got 2 weeks and we're closing the place down. Oh, you know how hard that was? Most of y'all were here. That was difficult. Man, I mean, I was going through. I mean, I'm trying to find us a place. And nobody wants to rent to us. Everybody's giving us all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems. And then we finally found a place, and we thought, man, we was over there at the YMCA. We thought that we had it and everything. And then they backtracked on us. Oh man, things was hurting badly. Until finally, you know, about a month, you know, we were doing services over there at that hotel across the street. And they was, we were doing service at the YMCA. And they was like super expensive, $175, I think, a week or something like that. It's like, man, this is crazy. And then we decided to move it over at the hotel, which is a little bit cheaper and a much better facility. But finally, you know, God blessed us with this place. And so, after we moved in here, the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, son, because you cared, you put my concerns and my house before your own concerns, I'm about to bless you with the house. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, I didn't know how he's going to do that. But then my landlord called and says, Troy, we're about to sell the house. You either buy it or move out. I'm like, you know, I said, this just, what is happening to me? It ain't fair. Thank God I knew the character of God. I said, well, Father, I said, now you said you was going to bless me with the house. And I claimed this. I claimed the scriptures, and I claimed the prophetic word. And then God showed us the house that we're at right now in West Woodward, praise God.
Amen.
And then we got, and I won't even get into a whole lot of detail, but we got such a wonderful deal on it. We didn't have to pay closing costs. We didn't, it was just a wonderful deal, praise Jesus.
Amen.
I wouldn't have been able to afford that house if I had to get, if I had to come up with a certain amount of money, you know, because sometimes they ask you for like $50,000 down payment, or, you know, I don't know how many, I know Michelle can probably, she probably can tell you. Did you have to pay, make a like a large down payment or anything on your house?
No,
because
we were first-time home buyer.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the first-time home buyer program, yeah. which I could have been in, but I guess I could have been in, but I didn't want to go that route for some, I don't know why. But we got it a different way, and God just opened that door and blessed us, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm able to make the payments with no problems. I don't have to sit there and pull my hair out. But the thing is that God opened the door because I began to seek him, hallelujah.
Amen.
And see, if you take before God his words and you pray to them, then he will answer. He got us in here because we took before God his words, and he answered and got us in here, and he's going to move us out of here and take us to a bigger and better place than this, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And that, and after I go through, I guess whatever I'm supposed to go through as Pastor Mary was prophesying, we're going to see this place really expand, and God's going to do the wonderful things that he desires to do in this ministry. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to what God is doing, is planning on doing. And I don't look for just greatness in my life. I'm looking for greatness in every last one of y'all lives. Hallelujah. I want to see everybody expand. I want to see, as a matter of fact, it won't do me no good for me to become a great person and y'all stay at a low level. Or if, I'm not, well, I shouldn't say stay. If you're at a low level, it's not good for you to stay there. It makes me look better as you grow, praise God.
Amen.
It makes me look better as you launch and go out and forth in your ministries. I mean, the teacher should. I know the Bible says that the teacher, the disciple is not greater than the teacher, but the disciple should at least be catching up to the teacher. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, I'm a firm believer that, in a sense, you should do better than I do.
Yes.
I expect my children to do better than me.
Uh-huh.
I expect my spiritual children to do better than me. I expect those of you young men who come out of this ministry and you start your own ministries, you should do better than I do. Because you shouldn't be making the mistakes that I made. You learn some things by being with me, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So take before God words. Let's look at Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26 shows us another example of this. Deuteronomy 26, verse 5. You can read the whole chapter when you get home, but I just want to point out a couple of things. This Moses had called the assembly. And this is talking about like the first fruits. And Moses tells them, as you bring your first fruits, this is exactly what you need to say before God. He gives them specific words that they need to say. So there is nothing wrong with rehearsed prayer that's based on the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
26, verse 5, he says, "And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great, mighty, and popular." Talking about Abraham. So he tells them, this is what you are going to say before the Lord. This is exactly what I want you to say before the Lord. And then let's just jump down to verse 13. "Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite and unto the stranger, to the fatherless and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me.
I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. So again, Moses is telling you, say, this is what you say before the Lord. And then verse 15, I love verse 15. I even have it underlined in my Bible, because I'll read it one day and it just jumped out at me. This is what you need to say before the Lord. Look down from thy holy habitation, from heaven. See, that matches what Jesus said. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It matches what James said. He said, all good things come down from the Father of lights. Praise God. Amen. So, you are to go before God and say, look down from thy holy habitation, from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, and thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. That word swears is talking about God's promise, God's covenant. You are to go before God with his covenant promises and say, God, you swore this, so do this as you have sworn, or as you have said, or as you have promised, praise God. Amen. See, Moses taught people how to pray, and he even told them what they need to pray for and specific words they need to use as they go before God in prayer. You need to take God back his own word. Hallelujah. You did it with your parents. My kids did it with me. They still do it with me. My daughter Terry, who's not feeling well today, says, she always reminds me, Daddy, you've been saying for years you're going to take us to Disneyland. When is it going to happen? I mean, Disney World. I've been promising that since they were little kids. So I know I got to they ain't let that promise die yet. So I know we got to plan us a trip to Disney World because I got to keep my word. But I don't chastise them for it. I don't say, get out of here with that. That was years ago. No, that was a promise I made. I got to keep it. Praise God.
Yes.
But every year I try to do it. You know, still we deal with stuff with the church, so I hold back. But, you know, I'm looking for the day when I can just say, hey, Pastor Steve, Pastor Mary, y'all take care of it. I'm gone. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not that they're not capable to do it now. It's just that still we need people that can do certain things so that y'all not relying on me to do them, like the sound system and stuff like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God that we do have Jimmy as the van driver, things like that can be taken care of. But I need to train Landry and others more as far as the sound system so that I can take a vacation. Hallelujah. But basically, your kids have come to you as parents and have brought before you your words. You have done the same thing with your parents. Why not do it with God? Hallelujah. That's what Moses is teaching the people here. That's what Hosea was teaching the people here. Matter of fact, Moses knew the secret of pleading before God. Say pleading.
Pleading.
See, I work in a law office. I'm their computer specialist. And I know, and I've been in court. And when they go before the court and before the judge, they plead their case, praise God.
Amen.
Now, see, the word plead does not mean beg. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean, oh, please, please. No, to plead is to present before the judge or some other authority why you believe that this person, if you're a prosecutor, why this person needs to go to jail or pay a fine or whatever have you. If you are a defense attorney, you are pleading your case and presenting evidence as to why this person should not go to jail or pay a fine, why they are not guilty. And you are presenting documented evidence as to why your case is the true case against that of the prosecutor or vice versa. Amen.
Amen.
So when the Bible talks about pleading before God. When you are pleading before God, you are presenting a case before him. And you need to come with some evidence. Hallelujah. God expects you to plead. You, and just like you did with your parents, you pleaded your case, and they say, why are you asking me that? And then you can say, because you told me such and such a time that you would do this, and so that's why I'm asking you now. They say, oh, okay, that's right. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, you do the same thing with your Heavenly Father. You plead your case. Let's look at Isaiah 43. Let's look at Exodus chapter 8 first. Go backwards, Exodus chapter 8. We got two more scriptures in this. See, I want you to understand that everything I'm teaching you here is based on the Word of God. Everything I'm teaching you here is in the Bible. You should never trust a man who just tells you something and ain't got no scripture to back it up. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care how big his church is. I don't care how large his television ministry is. I don't care how many degrees he has behind his name. I don't care if he has a PhD, a CHI, and a RFOYT. It doesn't matter. If he doesn't tell you what the Bible says, you need to throw it away. Because this is the Word of God, and this is your God. If Pastor Troy tells you something and I can't back it up by the Bible, throw it away. Praise God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And that's why I'm teaching you what the Bible says on this particular case. Because people will come to you. I'm telling you, I've been in these debates. I've been in these arguments. People will come to you and tell you that it don't take all that. Yes, it does. And that's why they're all frustrated. They can't seem to get any answers to prayer. And then so what they do is they blame it all on God. Well, it's the will of God that my life is the way it is. No, it ain't. It's because you're lazy. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Exodus chapter 8. Now, I told y'all before that when Moses was dealing with the 10 plagues in Egypt, every time the plague came, it depended on what Moses did, and every time the plague left, it all depended on Moses praying and to go away, praise God. God didn't just do things willy-nilly. He worked through his servant. And so in Exodus chapter 8, verse 11, this was the plague where all the frogs came and just took over Egypt. I mean, the frogs was in their food, the frogs was in their bathtub, the frogs was in their water, the frogs was in everything. Imagine popping open a bottle of soda and a frog jumps out.
Wow.
Yeah. You get the picture. Imagine opening up your refrigerator and a bunch of frogs are jumping around. I'm telling you, that's what was happening in Egypt. So Pharaoh finally called Moses, hey, Moses. Please, I beg you, man. You know, you Liberians, I beg you, man, get rid of these frogs home. So we go down to verse 11, and Moses says, and the frogs shall depart from thee. Now listen, this is before Moses even prayed, y'all. We're talking confidence here. So Moses says, and the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people, they shall remain in the river only. Moses, even before he goes to God, he's already confident that his prayer is going to get answered. Praise God.
Amen.
Woo, I love that kind of confidence. This is faith. You see, you need to read this scripture at home and understand what it means to have confidence. You need to know that before you even go to God in prayer, what's going to happen? That God is going to answer my prayer. That's what Moses was saying. He's telling Pharaoh, God's going to answer my prayer. And all the frogs is bothering you right now, they're going to go. So then we go down to verse 12. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses, the King James Version says, cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. Now that word cried simply means to plead. Say plead.
Plead.
And the New Living Translation, it says, so Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, and Moses pleaded with the Lord about the frogs he had sent. Moses was confident, and so he pleaded to God. What Moses did, he brought before God his promise. He said, God, you said that when I asked you, you would remove the frogs. So now remove them. And God did what Moses asked.
Praise God.
Amen.
Let's look at one more passage of scripture. We're going to get ready to close out. Did you learn? Are you learning anything?
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You're going to stop being lazy. I'm telling you, this stuff takes work. You really want to get answers to prayer. It does take some work. You got to do some things. Isaiah 43. But I'm going to tell you right now, the people that are most successful in life, and specific Christians and non-Christians I'm talking about, are people who strive until they achieve what they want. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be lazy, you just, and see, we apply these principles to the world, and we don't think that they should apply in the spiritual realm. But if you're going to be lazy in the spiritual realm, it works just like the world. You're lazy in the world, you don't achieve what you want. You're lazy in the spiritual realm, you don't achieve what you want. You put the work, God's principles, the way he lays them out, you will get things from God. Hallelujah. You will succeed in your prayer life. You will succeed in your Christian walk. You will succeed even, and if you do this with God in your Christian walk, then it will spill over into your regular everyday walk. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 43. Beginning at verse 25, he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Now here God is giving a promise to you. He's saying, I blot out your transgressions. I will forget your sin for my own sake. And then he goes on in verse 26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Say plead.
Plead.
Declare thou that thou mayest be justified.
Mm-hmm.
God is using courtroom language here. Notice the word justification. He says, how are you going to be justified? You're going to plead before me. You're going to repeat back to me exactly what I told you that I would do for you. And then you will be justified, praise God.
Amen.
See, you need to go before God just like you would a judge, but at the same time, just like you would your parent, because, you know, as parents, we acted like judges, praise God. That was, our role was not just to be sweet and kind and give our kids candy and cookies. When they acted up, we became judges. And it was time to deal with issues. Praise God. So God is a judge. He's your father, but he's also a judge. So when you go before the judge, make sure you got some evidence. Praise Jesus. Go before him. Now, see, the judge in any courtroom, he may know the law, but he's not going to give the prosecutor or the attorney, unless he's a, you know, he's a corrupt judge. But if he's a fair judge, he's not going to give the prosecutor or the defense attorney any help. He expects them to do their own homework. He expects them to do the research and bring their case before him. Now, him and the attorney might be buddies and pals, but when you go before his courtroom, you better have your stuff together. The most judges are like that. So, as you and I, even though God knows his own word, he expects you to do the research. He expects you to find the evidence. He expects you to come before him and say, Father, this is what you said. And then when you have said it, when you have spoken to God and taken to him his own words, you will be justified. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You can be confident that God will hear and answer your prayer just like Moses was. Stand to your feet.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.